Last Lord's Day, we began a vitally important study concerning God's amazing grace. And of course, our theme was God's amazing grace must be accepted. That is, we must obey God's commands to receive the gift of salvation made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, what we covered last week was the definition of grace. It means unmerited favor, but the favor must be a benefit. And then we covered the two extreme views of grace that must be rejected. The first one was saying that men are saved by grace without obedience to the gospel. And many verses, of course, refute that. The second view that we refuted was the one that says men are saved by obedience without the grace of God. And of course, that also is refuted. We talked about there are two basic types of works in the Bible. Excluded works, that is, the works of the flesh, the works of the law of Moses, the works of merit. For example, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, they're all excluded. But what is included, of course, is works of righteousness, which are commanded by God in His holy word for us to obey. So we want to continue our study this morning, yes, concerning God's amazing grace. Again, it must be accepted as we obey God's commands. So we'll want to continue that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. We all should know what that stands for, preparing for eternity. That's the most important thing we could do. Yes, and we take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study, yes, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then we strive to worship God in spirit and in truth with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. I can assure you that you will be very much welcome as you join in with us. And something else to mention, we always appreciate the opportunity to have Bible studies at your convenience. So get in touch with us if you're interested in doing that. And, of course, as we always try to point out, your questions and comments, positive or negative, they're appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. The zip code, our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, before we get back into our study of God's amazing grace, I wanted to say this is the last day of our gospel meeting with Brother Ronnie Whittemore, and I can assure you he's doing an excellent job, even though I'm recording this on Tuesday night, because I'm confident that Brother Ronnie will bring forth the word in a proper way. So I hope you'll make it this morning at 9:30, and then 10:30 we'll have a potluck lunch served by the ladies of the congregation, and perhaps some men helping that too. And I can assure you it's always delicious. And then we'll come back up for the 1 o'clock service to close out the meeting. So we do hope that you will be able to join in with us and enjoy the hearing of God's word, and not only hear, but let us all be doers of the word and serve God faithfully. And if you're not a Christian, this is an excellent opportunity to learn what to do in order to become a child of God. Now, I've been attending the Stop 11 Road lectureships this week and privileged to speak. And I'm really getting my spiritual cup filled up And if you were participating in that lectureship, you know what I'm saying. And we do appreciate the good gospel preaching and also, of course, the great fellowship. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we continue studying concerning God's amazing grace. But that amazing grace must be accepted as we obey God's commands, and thus we could receive the gift of salvation. So let's pick up with God's grace enables us to be saved, which is referred to as the gift of God. Let's go back to Ephesians 2 and notice verses 8 and 9 as we looked at these verses last week. For by grace are you saved through faith, that is, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There it is. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So, as we look at this verse, the gift of God here in verse 8, salvation, yes, is, as we see here, being referred to as the phrase, the gift of God, and it's given only to those who meet the conditions of pardon. Now, we're saved by God's grace through our obedient faith. We're not saved by works of merit, as we talked about last week. No, sir. That's ruled out in verse 9. Not of works. That's the excluded works of merit, lest any man should boast, saying, look what I've done. Well, no one has done what would be deserving of the death of Christ on the cruel cross of Calvary. We can't do that. But notice verse 10. Here's the included works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Those are the included works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Works of righteousness. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, we note, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're saved by God's grace through our obedient faith. Not faith only. That's not going to save anyone. Doesn't save the devils that believe and tremble. Of course not. There in James 2. And notice, in Matthew 25:46, these are those who refuse God's grace. In other words, they're disobedient. They're not going to obey the commands of God and receive the grace of God, the gift of God. No, they've decided to reject it. And that's sad to say, the majority of the world. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, those are the ones who accepted God's grace, and they're going into life eternal because they obeyed the commands of God. And you can see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. This is speaking of the second coming of Christ. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And then notice, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those that refused God's grace, they wouldn't receive it by obeying the gospel, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Let's not be among those. You see, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 has been misused, I should say, to teach grace and faith only salvation. But let's notice what the Ephesians themselves did to accept God's grace. Now that's important, isn't it? We need to know what did they do in order to accept God's grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now notice, the Ephesians, and this is the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, the church of Christ, chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we found here in this verse that the brethren there in Ephesus, what did they do? They heard and they believed the word of truth, the gospel of Christ. Now that's not all they did. As we go now to Acts 19, verses 17 through 20, and we find that they also repented. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, the authority of Christ. And many that believed came and confessed, showed their deeds, many of them also which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, something else we can note here is that the Ephesians were baptized. Well, Ephesians 4, 5, you see the seven ones of unity, one Lord, verse 5 we're looking at, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's right, they were baptized into Christ. The Great Commission baptism now was the one baptism. The Holy Spirit baptism was no longer poured out. The apostles received that on the day of Pentecost. Cornelius and his household had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit before they were obedient to the gospel, showing that the Gentiles were now open for salvation. They began to speak in languages they never studied. Yes. And notice, in Acts chapter 19, Paul found some that were baptized under John's baptism after the church had began. So that baptism was no longer acceptable. You see, they needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of God the Father, and Christ and the Holy Spirit, which they were, as you see in verse 5. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you can't say that the Ephesians were saved by grace alone. When you see in the scriptures, they heard the word, they believed it, they repented, they confessed that Christ was the only begotten Son of God, and they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Now that's important, isn't it? And everyone should be able to see that. Now, let's note this. We cannot be saved by God's grace until we get into Christ. If we're outside of Christ, we're not saved. And thus, we're not saved by the grace of God being outside of Christ. So obviously, we can say that we cannot be saved by God's grace until we get into Christ. Now go with me to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, and we'll see how we get into Christ. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That comes first. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, we're finding here that, yes, the Galatians, whom Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, they obviously were baptized in order to be saved by God's grace. They had to get into Christ, and that's what put them into Christ, was baptism. Does everybody see that? If we stay with God's word and have an honest heart, we would have to say, yes, that's what the scriptures say. They were baptized into Christ, and they put on Christ that way. So let's be sure we understand that. God's saving grace cannot be received outside of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Who missed that? That's obvious, isn't it? The grace that comes from God is in Christ Jesus. And we need to be strong in that grace. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation, which is a gift of God, is in Christ Jesus. The grace of God is enabling us to be saved from our sins, but again, we must receive that gift of salvation by obeying God's commands. And we cannot do it any other way. Let's notice this. No sinner can be justified without being redeemed by the blood of Christ. We all should agree with that. We cannot be saved or justified without being redeemed by the blood of Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we cannot separate God's grace and being in Christ, having salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. So, where do grace and faith meet? Romans 6:3-5. We dealt with this last week as well, but it bears repeating. And the reason I refer to this verse quite a bit, especially in giving the invitation in the Lord's church in our worship services, because this does answer the question, where do grace and faith meet? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, notice, into Jesus Christ. What have we been talking about? We cannot be saved by God's grace until we get into Christ. We're baptized into Christ. And notice, as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're born again. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So, since the blood of Christ was shed in His death, John 19, study verses 30 through 34, and we are baptized into His death. Therefore, we contact His precious blood symbolically in the watery grave of baptism. Now that's biblical. That's the Bible speaking. We are saved by God's grace and by our faith, an obedient faith, when we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. That answers the question, where do grace and faith meet? On the day of Pentecost, God's grace was extended when they heard the gospel preached. Acts chapter 2, we note that. That's the day the church began in Jerusalem. Yes, after Christ had resurrected, ascended up into heaven. He was resurrected from the grave on the first day of the week, was seen by over 500 brethren at once. And then later He ascended up into heaven. The disciples were to wait in Jerusalem. They would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, giving them the ability to remember what Jesus had taught. They were speaking in the languages of all the people that day. And we see then that the gospel of Christ was preached And God's grace thus was extended. And God's grace was accepted when? When those that cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in their heart. And thus they wanted to know what to do to be saved. They wanted to accept God's gift of salvation. The grace of God was extended and they were ready to accept it. You see, Peter told them to repent. They already believed Jesus was the Christ. They were told to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now notice verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They accepted the grace of God. And the reward of their accepting God's grace was being saved from their sins and being added to the Lord's church. There was no other church but the Lord's in the first century. Verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, quickly, we need to note this. God's grace can be received in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul, the inspired apostle, writing to the Corinthian church of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You see that? God's grace can be received in vain. How could we receive the grace of God in vain if it accomplishes its purpose without conditions on our part? Of course it requires conditions on our part. God's grace was not bestowed on the Apostle Paul in vain, because Paul labored, didn't he? Yes, he did. He labored in the church because he was truly converted, and his growth and development as a Christian is seen. God's grace was not bestowed on him in vain. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And here it comes. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Where's it at? In Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, Paul had done some pretty bad things. He had persecuted the church. He had consented to the stoning of Stephen. And so he understood how the exceeding abundant grace of God would allow him to be forgiven of all those sins, just as it will allow us today who have a mountain of sins. The grace of God to see is exceeding abundant. But, again, we have to respond to the grace of God as Paul did. He obeyed the gospel, did he not? So God's grace is available to all. But not all obey the gospel and receive God's grace. Titus 2, 11 and 12, for the grace of God, that's what we're studying, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So not everyone will be saved. In fact, the majority of the world refuses to accept God's grace. Study Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Many there be which go in thereat, the wrong way that leads to destruction. And the narrow road that leads to life, few there be that find it. So God's grace teaches us that we must continue to grow in God's grace. Study Acts 13, 43 and 2 Peter 3, 18. Our time is drawing nigh, but let's emphasize this. God's grace teaches us, but unfortunately, so many people are refusing the teaching from God's grace. And how tragic it is. God's amazing grace offers salvation, but must be accepted on God's conditions, not man's. Have we accepted God's grace by obeying the gospel of Christ? We cannot be saved by God's amazing grace until we get into Christ. Grace and faith meet where? In baptism. Have we learned how to live in this life? By accepting and living by God's grace. We stand ready this morning to assist you in obeying the gospel. We're having a gospel meeting. Why not come this morning and obey the gospel of Christ, accepting God's grace? Hearing the word of God is how our faith comes, Romans 10, 17. Believing that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God is a must. And of course the evidence is abundant, John 8:24. Then we're to repent, making a change of will. Not my will, but God's will be done. I'm going to go in a new direction in my life. I'm going to be directed by the Word of God, not just how I think I should live. I'm going to change my mind about things and do God's will. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Now, I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now, we must state that before others. That's the good confession, as the Ethiopian eunuch did when he saw water and said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, Philip explained he needed to confess that Jesus is the Christ. He did. They both went down in the water, and Philip baptized him into Christ, and then the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, because his sins were washed away, and that was by the blood of Christ, but it was in that watery grave. As we talked about in Romans 6, 3 through 6 earlier, this is what the Scriptures teach. Some say it's not necessary. Are we going to believe Jesus? Or someone else. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 16. We better stay with Jesus and his word and the examples of conversion in the book of Acts. And then after putting on Christ in baptism, where we have now the acceptance of God's grace, now we need to grow in it and stay faithful even unto death. Revelation 2:10, we thank you so much for listening today.